you know, you're afraid of something you don't know anything about. And I just don't want us to be afraid. I don't want to mislead that you guys are trying to turn your back on this. I just want us to be educated, and if we can go for this, let's go for it. If we fall short, we fall short. But I don't mean to say that you guys are slamming the door on this. That's not what I was trying to say. Maybe it came out that way, but that's not what I was trying to say.
Thank you for that clarification. I think that, Mr. Chairman, you know, once we get some additional pieces of information, I think we'd be in a much better position to know if we need to request a special meeting prior to March, or maybe nothing comes up between now and March. We're still waiting for something to come out, but I will keep you posted.
That's what I was going to say. In conclusion, you know, it was very informational on both parts, with the information Brian gave and the information Frank gave. And then, it's not going to go away. It's just we have to do some more research and get some more answers. So I would leave it at that for now. If we need to do something before March, we will. And if not, we'll just, put this back on the agenda for March and see where we stand then.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Okay,
Mr. Sampson, back to you.
Yeah, moving right along. Town of Patchogue reached out to us with a request. They are getting prepared to put out a RFP for a mobile ice cream vending opportunity to service their three aquatic facilities in Glastonbury. So they reached out to Brian and last week, and so there was some discussion as to does this fit in the scope of Randolph Shepherd. So Brian and I and Andrew kind of just collectively discussed this opportunity, and to kind of define what a mobile vending option be considered a facility. And one, I think the conclusion of that was yes, it would fall in the scope of providing a service in mobile aspect, but under what considered a facility, considered a vending opportunity, a source of service. And so with that being said, they did provide just slightly a little bit more information. That information would be that it anticipated that this would be a seasonal opportunity during the summer months, and the population in which to be served, and this could, be up in the air, is roughly 25,000 patrons in total. That's pretty much all I really have. It appears that this opportunity would be exclusive to mobile ice cream only, so not per se a vending food truck, but specific ice cream, and maybe your chips and so forth. I'm not sure if I'm missing anything. Brian, am I missing anything with this?
Sure, just a couple things. They indicated that there would be times when they have, like, swim meet that the ice cream truck would not be able to sell ice cream. But they're envisioning that the person would have, like, an ice cream truck that would be driving throughout these days that the pools are open, the three pools in Glastonbury. They'd be driving the ice cream truck around from one location to the other and back to the other location, so they would be making, relatively frequent rounds to be selling ice cream to the folks that are at the town pool. So if throughout the season, the summer season, there were roughly 25,000 people spread across the season, I don't know how often the swim meets are, how often that would mean that the ice cream truck would not be able to sell for that period of time at that location. But they are exclusively looking for ice cream, and as Tyrell said, it's a mobile thing, so it's a truck. So any person who took it obviously would need to have somebody that they hire to drive the truck for them. And the other aspect of this thing is somebody would have to purchase the truck, and whether or not the budget of our program could absorb the cost of a truck, you know, is a whole other thing. And frankly, we have not looked into whether or not we would be allowed to purchase such a truck. We've never done it before, but to speak to, you know, what was just stated, just because we've never done it before doesn't mean we shouldn't contemplate it. But this would be very much a new direction if we were to go after a mobile vending facility, we'll call it that. But that's the information we have.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian?
Yeah.
Chad, this is just a quick question on that regard. Are they referring to, do they have a truck in mind particularly? Would we have to be looking at a used ice cream truck, a new ice cream truck? Because I do have information on those, and they are really expensive. The used ones you can find fairly reasonable, but even a used one can be upwards around $10,000 to $12,000, and it's an old truck. So you could have mechanical issues and that sort of thing. So a brand new one, you could be looking at anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 and up, just for an idea.
Yeah, plus the insurance. There was one other piece that I just wanted to be sure. Now, you know, I don't honestly know how this would come into play if we said we wanted it, but the email said the town of Glastonbury is getting ready to send out a request for quotation of a mobile ice cream vendor service at the free outdoor flag facility for a proposed fee to the town. The vendor will have exclusive rights to sell ice cream from a mobile ice cream truck during the summer months. So they are looking under the RFP that whoever wins this contract, if it went out to RFP, would be paying their town a fee for the right to have these exclusive rights. Now, I don't frankly know whether or not they'd be allowed to expect a fee from us when we have the first right of refusal. But I'm not familiar that we've ever paid a fee for the right of first refusal anywhere, but I just wanted you to know that that was one of the things that he put in the email to me.
How long do we have?
What?
He did
not. He did not give me, like, can you get back to me today or tomorrow? When they're getting ready to put out the RFP.
Now, what if an operator already had a vehicle such as that? Would that be a consideration then? That, okay, an operator already has a, you know, an ice cream vehicle or an ice cream truck, ice cream trail, whatever you want to call it. If they already had that in their possession, would that be a consideration? But okay, this operator has this unit, so we could provide the service.
If an operator already has the truck, the ice cream truck, and if they have a way to get the truck from location to location, and they want this location, and through promotion and transfer, they were the one who got it, then I would certainly not be opposed to a person who said, I've already got a truck. That would be a significant development.
Now, here's the other part of the question. Does it necessarily have to be a truck? They have ice cream trailers.
They just put a mobile ice cream truck. So I don't know, but that's what they're saying. They're looking for someone with a mobile ice cream truck. But again, you know, there's no RFP for me to look at and to see if it says, or trailer. I think they're, at least in the email, envisioning it's, you know, an ice cream truck, probably similar to, like, What a Good Humor truck or a Mr. Softy truck or something like that, I think is what they're envisioning. And I think they're envisioning that whoever won this agreement would pay their town some fee for the right to then be the exclusive person selling the ice cream.
I see.
This is key to the question, not necessarily a question, but a comment per se. I think of these ice cream truck ideas as a sole operator in order to make money. And it just sounds, you know, it's seasonal. If this is coming up for this season, what are those parks going to look like? Even COVID's going to keep going. It's not going to end in March. What is the operator going to make, you know? And I know that's not a question anyone can answer, but if you have to pay a driver, because you have to keep going, it's like you can bring it out at 8 o'clock in the morning and have someone come pick it up at 4 p.m., you got to go throughout the day. You go to this pool for an hour or whatever it is. I'm just saying, making stuff up. But then you go to the next one for a little bit. Then you go to the next, you have to have a driver all day. How much is that operator going to have to make after he's done paying his driver, you know, at 15 bucks an hour, well, minimum wage, or...
Would the operator be restricted to only doing those parts? I mean, when those parts are done, can't the operator then continue on to, you know, go to other locations? I mean, those ice cream trucks go up and down the street and, you know, in East Hartford and Hartford and Manchester all the time.
I think they need to have a permit from the town to do that.
Well, yes, obviously. But if you already have the unit, why limit yourself to just those? I mean, you're doing a service for the town of Glastonbury, but you can get obtain permits in other towns and use that in other towns. I mean, I know some people with ice cream vehicles, and they make a pretty good lucrative business over the spring and summer months. Get some true.
I go back to it. They're a single man operation. They are the driver and the service provider. You're not paying a driver and selling ice creams.
And kind of to jump into it, and just hearing you out, Chad, I think at that point, if you're looking to utilize the ice cream truck beyond the town of Glastonbury, the ice cream truck is, in my world, and I could be wrong, but the location would be the town of Glastonbury. So after, let's say, 8 and 2, and then you decide to do something from 2:30 to 8, that piece of business outside of the town of Glastonbury, in my world of thought, would be a separate business opportunity. It's not the town of Glastonbury, but you're in Middletown selling ice cream at 7 o'clock. So I think you'd have to separate the two responsibilities. Certainly, if it was an ice cream truck in which you purchased on your own. Secondly, let's say if it's an ice cream opportunity in which Besby purchased, I don't see how Besby could allow you to operate the ice cream truck outside of the scope of the RFP.
Understandable.
You know, I don't know. I don't see that.
In that aspect, I mean, yes, it would make profitability very limited. But I mean, I could see how if. Like for me, for example, I have a driver. I have somebody that can drive that I really wouldn't have to pay. My father's retired. That's all he wants to do is hang out with me. So in my case, I could be out doing that. I don't have somebody I have to pay who is willing to drive for me. But doing that just for that town, that would limit, you know, the scope of things. I mean, they're... To be able to branch out, yes, make that your priority. Okay, I'm obligated to do this, so I do that during the weekend. And if I ain't got nothing else, I mean, the ice cream truck used to come up my street every single day during the summer, every day. So, I mean, if you're just limited to a weekend, you're missing a whole opportunity of profitability.
It's just like any other... So wherever you are is where you are. The town of Glastonbury is going to designate where you're going to have to go. It's just like any other.
I understand that part of it. But what I'm saying is, if I came in with my own truck, my own ice cream facility, and I did the obligation to the Glastonbury, I should have the right and be able to go out in other towns and do the same thing throughout the week as long as I maintain the obligation to Glastonbury.
I mean, I don't see any disagreement there. I think, you know, if you come in with your own equipment and in the mindset of understanding that there's a business separation, and, you know, and that goes all the way down to factoring how you, you know, from the business expenses in which you claim for the period. I mean, everything would have to obviously be prorated
down to the gas expense that you claim, down to the insurance responsibility. Every piece of the business piece would have to be prorated. I mean, and that's such to reflect your obligation to Glastonbury. Anything outside of that? I can't see how anyone could disagree with that. But yeah, if you come up with a business plan that is clearly identified separation, I don't see how, you know, it couldn't be done. Yeah, I don't.
Well, but you know, one thing we have to keep in mind, our payment to the blind vendor would be for this operation. So if we purchase as an agency. Is an agency BEP facility, but it was a moving facility, if you will. This is what we would be authorizing. If you brought your own truck into the situation where, you know, again, this is your truck, not our truck, then whether or not on the weekend you chose to use your truck to get a license to go to Manchester or whatever, I think is Tyrell is saying, that's not under Randolph Shepherd, though, because we're authorizing you to run this location in Glastonbury. But I, you know, again, I just would say that if we have it so that a person's bringing their own truck into it, then when that person's truck is no longer available, what happens to the operation? So it's like when you have a facility and your freezer breaks, it's our freezer that breaks, not yours. So we're making sure that freezer gets fixed so that we can continue to run that operation. So, I think these are great discussions to be having, but I don't necessarily have the answers because we haven't encountered these things before. We've never had somebody say, well, what if I got my own truck? You know, so we were looking at it from the standpoint of if we were to do this and we were to say, yes, we're interested, then somehow we'd have to figure out how to pay for a truck. Are we allowed to buy a truck? There's insurance on the truck. There's the maintenance, you know, the transmission needs to be serviced. There's many, many variables of a program that right now, as I think you all know, we're talking about, you know, the program trying to financially hold its own, given that the vending machines are not generating anywhere near what they were generating when we had building population. But.
I just want to, one more piece to that, and obviously when we're talking, I'm thinking more. If one person should even bring their own ice cream truck into the mix, I would have to believe that Besby would forfeit all responsibility for any business expense responsibility. And that means, obviously, the tires, the engine, the trip, everything that is associated with assuring that that vehicle makes it to Glastonbury, because A, if it's not brand new and under warranty and so forth, it's like buying anything used. You absorb all responsibility. So if you do bring in an outside used vehicle into this and want to, you know, the opportunity, you would have to be of the mindset that all expenses associated to keeping that vehicle up and running, stored, glassed, you know, everything that surrounds that would be the responsibility of the operator. So, so if you feel that the Glastonbury on top of the outside business venture could yield enough profit to absorb all of the expense that would be associated with purchasing a used vehicle, that's another thought that you would have to really think about and then assess the actual profit point at that point, which I don't know would be that great in my thinking, you know. But I don't know. I don't know. But just food for thought.
So just out of curiosity, because this is, again, Chad, are you saying, and of course you have to go through promote and transfer anyhow to get an operator, but are you saying you give up your location to do this? Because if you're just hypothetically speaking, you know, and it comes down to my name, I'm not doing this. I don't have a driver, and I'm not going to pay a driver for myself to make no money. So if for somebody to say, oh, I've got my own truck and I have a driver, that's specific to you, but we got to think about the program in general and if somebody else could do that. So would you saying that, I'm just curious, would you say you'd give up your current location to do this if it came up?
I would definitely consider it. you know, being that, well, one, I've been closed for so long, I mean, it's an opportunity. You know, and I could see potential in it, especially if it turned into, well, it's doing so well in Glastonbury, is there a way to get other locations, you know, other areas that might be interested in having us do that? I have vehicles, you know, but it would definitely be something I would consider looking into for sure. But there is, like Tyrell said, there's a lot to consider. If I was only limited to just Glastonbury, I know the three pool locations in Glastonbury. I'm familiar with them. You know, it would be a very limited income. I would foresee.
I think what we're presented with as a committee, as an agency, is what's before us. And that's,
yep.
I don't think that's what can you do on Friday night at 8 o'clock. I think it's what can we do April through September. I'm making up those months. I didn't see what they're looking for, but seasonal.
Yeah.
Between the hours of, say, 8 and 4.
Yep.
And we have to provide the driver, and would that provide the operator with a profit? And program-wide, in my opinion, would be no. I don't think many of us have a driver. I don't think the parks are going to be very well packed. Well, they could be. I can't see the future, but I'm just saying, like, our obligation is to look at what's presented in front of us today, and we can't vote on something hypothetically thinking, well, why don't you go to Manchester?
No,
you know, we have to look,
yeah,
Monday through Friday, or whatever those days are, the weekends only, I don't know. And I just don't see this being a viable operation for a blind operator, maybe for someone that could see and drive, but if you have to pay somebody, that's going to, you know, these are one-man operations. You know, they're all over Hartford.
The other thing that would make it challenging for another operator to do it is, you know, in order, I had a trucking company. In order for insure my vehicles, I couldn't insure them because they say they insured the driver, so it has to be insured by the person driving the vehicle.
Interesting.
You know, so that's going to be a challenge in of itself. If you're hiring somebody, you got to make sure that they have a good background. You know, drive records clean, because the insurance is only going to insure that person driving that vehicle. And I'm not sure you need to have MCC numbers on it either, being it's a food truck or ice cream vehicle. I'm not sure if you have to have your MCC numbers.
And I just want to add one more thing, only because I know someone that owned an ice cream truck. There is a huge difference of financial gain when you're talking about having an ice cream truck who has a responsibility to sit at a location for a certain period of time versus a residential opportunity.
Yeah.
Residential opportunities for ice cream trucks are much more lucrative than opportunities in which I got to be at this, you know, location from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
I have to be, regardless if there's anyone there. That's my commitment. That's my agreement. And then from 2 to 3, I'm going to the next location, regardless. And then from 3 to 4, I go to the next location. So when you factor that this is not really a mobile per se opportunity during the times in which they need, or you know, the opportunity that's being presented to us, there is a difference because, you know, at times you may be a standing business. No real opportunity. So keep that in mind, that there is a significant difference versus residential mobile ice cream vending and park vending opportunities.
Yes. And that's why I brought up that question, where once the obligation to those parks or pools are done, we would be able to go out and, because it is, you're absolutely right, there's a huge difference between sitting there, you know, you're going there between open swim sessions or swim classes. A lot of those, well, I know one of them had their own concession. I don't know if they still have it, but they had their own concession stands in there too. So, yeah, absolutely. I don't think just sitting there and that being your only source of income would be a valuable way of running a business.
Yeah. And that, again, is what we have in front of us to vote on, is what's in front of us. We can't vote on something that's, you know, hypothetical or maybe you can, maybe you can't. We have to vote on this RFP, or maybe it's not RFP, but this location as it sits in front of us. It would be, Fezzi being the agency, and we being the licensed operator, to run that facility. You'd have to hire a driver. That's going to cut into your profit. And the fact that there might not be many people in the parks this year. Again, I have no idea of knowing that. I'm just thinking, with what we have in front of us, my recommendation would be to waive it. Any other committee members have anything to weigh in, or does somebody want to make a motion one way or the other?
Well, I think you're right. So there's no one else right now that is here on time willing to take this flat out. So then I guess.
Well, there's no way of knowing.
Right.
We just have to look at it from a business standpoint, and if it's a viable operation. My thought process is no, it's not viable because you have to pay a driver. So if you're not going to make a lot, if you're going to make money as a one-man operation, that's one thing. But if you have to take half your profit and pay somebody else that $15 an hour to drive that truck, you know,
it's a lot of your time
for a little bit of money.
But Chad made a thing. We're just dealing with who's here now. Can we table it and send out something to anyone? Because maybe someone is in the way of they got someone who they can just drive it for them and they'll do whatever. Or am I in a mindset, why even bother? What if people are in a position they can do that?
Let me just chime in, because some of you may have actually been at the training Department of Labor did. It was a very, very long time ago. But they went over the labor laws in terms of requirements to pay people that are possibly performing work for you at your location or for you. And I remember even an example came up that somebody had a friend who would be driving them to buy their food product. And the person was like, I have to pay this person? And at the time, Department of Labor said, yes, just because that person's a friend of yours, they're performing work to benefit your business, so you can't have them doing that for free. There are very strict rules around who can volunteer and what kinds of organizations can have volunteered. So I just don't want anybody thinking that they could, you know, have their friend for free fulfill that obligation. And then the other thing is that, you know, Chad is saying that he might be in a position that he might be able to have a truck, but if it wasn't Chad and it wasn't Chad's truck, then are we in a position that we could afford a truck, that we could afford all the maintenance on that truck and all the other things that go along with it, knowing what our income is as a program? So I think that these are some variables that people need to, you know, contemplate that aren't necessarily going to change if we put it out there saying, anybody want this? We still would be confronted with, unless they're bringing their own truck and taking all their own responsibility, you as a committee would have to understand that by accepting this vocation, we're accepting it knowing we have to buy a truck. If we can, assuming we can buy a truck. We've never done that, but I don't know, maybe we could. I really don't know.
So I guess the question before us, committee, is what's the do you want to look into it?
I would see looking at a standpoint where we can't guarantee that we'd be able to go outside of that realm of just Glastonbury, then no, I don't see a profitability margin there. There's too many unknown variables, I guess you could say, at this point.
And that's kind of what I was getting at, Chad. I was not tuning down your thought process, because it's good to look at all angles, but it's what we have in front of us is what we have to vote on. We can't vote on what ifs. You know, we have to vote on what's in front of us as a committee and what's the best thing for the program. And then there'd be a lot more what ifs, as Brian mentioned, whether they could buy the truck or not, and who's going to pay for the gas, and who's going to pay for the, you know. It looks like a lot of money on both parts and not enough profit for the operator. And you know, that's just my 2 cents. But I don't know if someone wants to make a motion for or against. we can call the vote. Call the vote.
Well, let me is this something, if we tabled against it, could we look further into it into the future, or is this something we could still investigate further into? We're voting against it right now, and that's it, or is it something that we can look further into?
I don't know, Brian, is this something that comes up every year, or is it every couple of years? Do you even know?
Other than the other than the one other situation where we were asked about food trucks and the committee just waived it outright, we don't usually get requests for food trucks. This is not something I've actually seen. They're usually thick ball locations.
I mean, couldn't this open up to other, other parks, where baseball parks and things of that nature, where we could still offer that to other locations, so we're not just limited to Glastonbury? I mean, let's say Glastonbury worked out. Couldn't we offer this out to other parks, other pools, other towns?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
This is Andrew Norton. I need to be rude, and I apologize to interrupt. During the course of this meeting, I've been alerted to something which requires my attention. And without going into detail, I hope you'll believe me that it's something I must attend to. It's not life and death. I don't want to scare anyone. But I, unfortunately, need to break away, and I'm hoping I'm not needed for the rest of the meeting when I say that. But I do need to break away.
Nope. I would say go ahead and do what you got to do. I think we can finish up here.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm sorry for interrupting, but thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks for attending.
No, thank you.
I'm only bringing it up too, because, I mean, again, we hate to miss another lost opportunity. If this could open up another realm of possibility for operators.
Right.
I mean, everything we do is a risk at this point. Maybe someone, I don't know, tackling it for the season, seeing how it works, and if it works out, great. Are we then able to present, to other towns, hey, we can now provide this service. Would you be interested?
I'm going to come across as opposed to it, and I'm just trying to present the reality from a budgetary standpoint. If it's not this one vendor with their own truck that they're going to take all full responsibility for, the cost is on the program. And so you're basically, if you're going to motion to accept this, you're going to motion it with the belief that you have a vendor that's going to have a truck, going to maintain the truck, going to keep the truck going to fulfill this obligation. Because if you don't have that, then what do? You'll turn to the program and say, you need to get a truck. And then we'll have to turn to that blind vendor that we license and say, you need to hire a driver. You need to be consistent with Department of Labor laws. So you can't have a volunteer if it's an employee of yours. That's an employee relationship. So we would have to defer you to call the Department of Labor to be sure you're operating the business within, the labor law requirements. So I would just ask that if you're going to motion to accept it, you're motioning it with the hope that a person comes forward who wants this location, who has the truck, and who's going to maintain it, or you're going to have to have a conversation about, Brian and Tyrell, do you think you guys could afford it, even if you were told, go ahead and buy it?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I go back to what's put in front of us today. I think that's interesting.
So the chair, Vice Chair, I move that we waive this RFP.
All right, Shelly makes a motion to waive this location for the mobile food truck. Can I get a second?
I second it. Dave Pelagi.
Dave Pelagi with a second on that. Any further discussion? With that, I'll call the vote. All those in favor of waiving this location, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Then the motion carries. We will waive the location at this time.
Okay. All right. So let's quickly moving down the agenda. Next, agency matters, health and safety measures and protocols. I just wanted to put this on the table just to remind everyone that we are still following very strict protocols during this time of COVID. And with that being said, you know, all requests for our program and the field reps, assistants and so forth, we've asked that field reps are available upon absolute need, just to ensure the they're following the safety protocols that are in place. So, and I've also asked the field reps to become creative in fulfilling some of, you know, all of the operators' requests, you know, not in person, you know, maximizing all of the electronic possibilities of ensuring that we get our day-to-day functions and responsibilities done, to minimize that contact, that direct contact. So I just wanted to let you all know that we are still under pretty strict protocols with you know, having out a field reps go to locations and so forth. And I've asked the field reps to really be certain that if there's a need to go to the location to ensure that that your request or whatever situation may be present is fulfilled. So I just wanted to let you all know that we're very much still in line with following the strict guidelines and protocols. Outside of that, I can move on to staffing update. I just wanted to also let you all know that a decision was made at this time not to fill my previous position as a fiscal administrative officer. Obviously now having the responsibility of analyzing our budget and trying to effectively cost save to the best of my ability, I had asked that, or I had requested that some of those fiscal position functions in which I was kind of duly responsible for after Ed's departure be removed off my plate and split up amongst those in the fiscal department, in which that has been done. So a lot of the fiscal responsibility in which I was responsible for in the previous position has been divided up amongst three other fiscal employees in the Hartford location. Therefore, buys us some time to, A, get our commissions increased, right? Once we're hoping that population increases, which will obviously start to provide additional funds in our monthly budget. And so that's great news, because that ultimately saves our program, if we're looking at it from a yearly standpoint, about $100,000. So I think that's great news in the sense of just being able to identify areas in which, you know, we're cost saving. So, you know, I think on my plate, it's all about the budget. You know, it's all about the budget. It's all about you guys being able to resume operation, but and just being able to really watch everything as a whole and be sure that we're moving and we're in line with today. And that's my goal, and, you know, you guys got my promise on that. And if there's any areas in which I think we can save or we can increase our monthly revenue, I'm going to look towards that. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. And then outside of that, we can just open up to open forum and go for an adjournment. So open forum.
Anyone for open forum? Hearing none, could I get a motion from a committee member to adjourn?
Actually, I'm sorry, I was a little delayed with the star six. This is Shelley.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, open forum. Mr. Tyrell Sampson, a few weeks ago, I think we discussed mail changes. Did you get any response on that? Because I didn't get anything in my email.
Not yet. I did not. I'll follow back up with that.
Okay.
I didn't get but I'll follow up.
Okay, that was it. Sorry. It just popped in my head.
Good. No, that's not good.
Anything else to open forum? I'll give a couple seconds for the person to unmute. And hearing nothing, could I get a committee member to motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn at that part.
And Amos second.
Can I get a second? Amos on the second. All those in favor of adjournment?
You did.
Yes, we got a motion made and seconded. All those in favor of adjourning the meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? And the motion carries. Thank you very much to all involved, and thanks for attending. Meeting adjourned.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.